I mentioned this today about how Christianity really, when you read the Word of God, Christ pulls no punches. And when it comes to his disciples, God doesn't operate under any false pretenses. He doesn't try to fool someone into what they're being called to. I think that many times we fool ourselves in what we're being called to. I think we try to minimize it. We try to redefine what Jesus Christ is calling us to, the life of discipleship. But Jesus was very, very clear about how he wanted to separate casual believers from submitted disciples. And there is a world of difference between those two. The church is rife today with casual believers, people that show up Sunday morning, maybe even Sunday night. But the vitality of their walk with Christ through the rest of the week, the effectual part of their Christian life, how it affects not only their life, but the life of those around them. I'm amazed at how you can see so little of Jesus Christ in so many believers' lives. It's really uncanny, not in just our actions, but even more so in our reactions. What comes immediately from the heart of a believer, either in tongue or in action. I've heard it for years, people say, in particular when we talk about giving, that it pays to serve Jesus Christ. The Thompsons years ago sang a song, "It Pays to Serve God." And I do believe that. But I think we need to understand something much more clearly about serving Jesus Christ. Not just that it pays, but it costs to serve Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is very clear that if you're going to be a true follower of him, if you're going to be used in a way that only God can produce his fragrance in and through your life to the level that he wants to do so, it's going to cost you something. And so this message tonight is not for everyone. This message tonight is not for those looking at your iPhone or your Droid and you are acting like you're reading the Bible, but you're really doing something else. It's not for you. I'm dead serious. This message is for those who are serious about following Jesus Christ. You want something produced in your life that only God can produce. You want it to be that your life was lived to the glory of Jesus Christ, not just that you are a good boy or a good girl. So tonight in Matthew chapter 8, Jesus Christ reveals to us the three prices, the costs, the barriers, if you will, to discipleship. He begins in verse 18 of Matthew chapter 8, and we'll read down through verse 22. He said, "Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, 'Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest.'" Now, I want to be clear with you. Jesus Christ was a winsome personality. In his ministry, throngs of people, thousands and thousands upon people, thousands came to hear Jesus Christ. But he was not impressed by that. That's what you and I are impressed by. We're impressed by these multitudes. And boy, can you believe that church is running thousands? Or have you seen how that church has grown and the more and more people are coming? That is much more impressive to you and me than it is to God. Jesus Christ now is trying to separate. He's looking at the multitudes and he's trying to call them down to those who are the truly committed ones. Those who are truly going to pay the price of discipleship. And so he begins now in answering in verse 20. "And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, let the dead bury the dead." When I read this passage of scripture, for me, it's sobering because the price. You know, you watch in just a week now, just a few days, You're going to be seeing football. It's going to be our annual rite of passage in our Southern culture. And so all day Saturday, starting around 9 o'clock, SportsCenter will have college football live coming on, and we'll start watching it then, and then we'll start going into this kind of catatonic state to where we're just watching football hour after hour after hour, flipping through the channels. And you say, Pastor, I would never waste my day like that. Yes, and so you go to the flea markets or you do your crochet, whatever you do, and I'll be watching football. What's unbelievable to me, when you start to learn the price that these young men pay, the price that they pay to get to the level that they're at, just college, they haven't yet been paid, at least above the table, they haven't yet been paid for what they're doing. The potential of that is coming just a couple of 3 years down the road. But now they're paying this unbelievable price to play a game. It's a game. The potential of millions of dollars, but it's so minute, the possibility of them reaching that point. Just one little snap of a tendon, just one little twist of an ankle, and their career is done. They go out in 100-degree weather. Yesterday, you can bank on it. Friday, you had these college football teams that were out in full pads going two-a-days in 120-degree heat index. And we're not even thinking a thing about it. They were thankful to be out there being able to play the game that they loved. And yet it's so hard for us to do anything that causes us to have to sacrifice for the cause of Christ. Tonight, please notice three principles of the cost of discipleship. Number one, you need to understand that if you're going to be a true follower of Jesus Christ, if God is going to use you in a God-sized way, then there's going to be a cost of personal comfort. The first would-be disciple comes to Jesus Christ in this passage of Scripture, and he says, I'll follow thee. Lord, I'll follow thee. I don't know what Jesus Christ saw in this scribe, but he said, I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest. But obviously he saw some kind of issue with him, that there was creature comforts, there was personal comforts that he was not going to be willing to give up. And so he told this man, you need to understand something if you're going to follow me. If you're going to follow me, he does not say, then you're going to have to sell your house. He does not say, well, you're not going to be able to have the nicest of vehicles. You're not going to be able to take the nicest of vacations. You're not going to have all the nicer things of life. He doesn't say that. He says, if you're going to be a follower of me, then understand this about myself. This is a powerful argument. Because someone could look back at Jesus Christ and say, well, you're saying in order for me to follow you, I have to give up this and I have to give up that. And yet, it doesn't seem like you're giving up anything. It seems like you're enjoying life fairly well. So Christ says, before he tells him the price of discipleship for himself, he tells him the price that he's paying personally. He says, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. In other words, he's making it very clear that the gospel is very simple. But the gospel, and I'm talking about the living out of the gospel. So often we just see the gospel as this kind of ABC plan of salvation. The gospel is not a plan. The gospel is a life process. You're saved in a moment, but living out the gospel is a lifetime. And he's saying if you're going to live out the good news of Jesus Christ, then you have to understand there's a cost of personal comforts. You're going to have to be willing to do away with those things that the earth treasures, the things that the world treasures. You're going to have to be willing to do away with that. I know some of you have done the calculation on this. But have you ever thought about, for those of us who've been involved in tithing for many, many years, how much money that is by this point in time, cumulatively? Have you ever thought about that? Do the math on that at some point. If you've been faithfully tithing off the gross, the first fruits, as God commands, and you've been doing that for years, think about the amount of money that you have given in the area of simply tithes. What could you have done with that money? Oh, the things that you could have bought. Say, well, Pastor, I have never done that. Well, I'm glad you're holier than I am. But at times I've done that. But I do believe, according to the Word of God, that the rewards of obedience in the area of giving is much, much greater than the cost. However, if you're going to follow Him and be obedient, it's going to cost you. There are many people to be willing, and I love what Cobby said, there are many people willing to be in the army as long as they only march in the parades, but very few are willing to go to battle. I find that. You find that quite a bit if you're a leader in ministry. You'll find that many are willing to do the things that are seen by people. As long as people can see them, they're willing to be a part of it. As long as, and I'm talking about even immediately, but they know that it's somehow going to circulate what they've done. Oh, the great sacrifice they've gone to. Oh, the great price they've paid. But what about the unseen things? The things that you know that on earth will never be mentioned by man. I've seen people even go so far as to take credit for things that they did not do. Willingly accept that. The commendation of doing something in the work of Christ, knowing full well that they really weren't that big a part of it. But yet so unwilling to pay anything that pushes us out of our creature comforts. Let me ask you this. What if in your Christian life, you and I lived in such a way that creature comforts were something that were a sidelight? We only kept what we needed. Everything else, physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, everything else we gave to Jesus Christ. At times it costs discomfort. But I still believe what D.L. Moody said, that the world still has yet to see, other than the person of Christ, the world still has yet to see what God can do with one man wholly committed to Him. If you're going to be a great follower of Christ, a disciple, you have to understand the great cost of personal comfort. Secondly, there's a barrier of misplaced priorities. Notice now what happens. In verse 21, and another of his disciples said unto him, unto the Lord, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. You see this barrier in people's lives of misplaced priorities. I was sitting down with a young man just a few months ago now, and the man was talking about how he wanted to serve the Lord, but he only wanted to serve the Lord in a certain geographic location. And I said, look, you're going to have to come to grips with something. God did not call you to the state of Alabama. As much as we love Alabama, as much as it's a tremendous place to live and to grow up and to raise children, God called you to complete surrender wherever that is going to be. And as long as you hold on to this thought that, well, you know, as long as I'm close to mama's table, or as long as I can get to mom and dad, and as long as I'm growing up around family, then as long as that's the case, then I've got that security blanket, when is it going to come to your realization that Christ in the end is all that you and I truly need? And I will tell you this, and the older you get, the more you'll find it out. As far as being there every single time, as far as things not being taken away, Christ, in the end, is all that you ever really had. If you are making family a priority above your relationship with Jesus Christ, parents, can I speak to you for a moment? This is a battle that you and I must win. And we have to win this battle not for ourselves, but we have to win this battle for the sake of our children. And it's in passive ways that we do this. It's in small little compromises. But if you watch very closely, we manipulate, we work, we play in some ways kind of mental games to make certain that those children stay kind of codependent upon us. I love what Pastor Holden said yesterday, and Jennifer Holden's father is here. They're leaving tomorrow back for Canada. They're no longer going to be in the south. They're going to be heading back up north. He was speaking to Stephen and Jennifer in a testimony. He said, now you are in control. You're in charge of your life. We are no longer, we can give you counsel if you ask. We can give you recommendations if you come to us, but it's really not our place now to come to you. I see many times that parents set things up, that they almost subconsciously are working it to create a codependent attitude between children and parents. Can I remind you of something, Mom and Dad? Those children are not yours. If they know Christ as their Savior, they have been bought with a price. And the price was the life of Jesus Christ. And so as much as those children, knowing Christ as the Savior, they are not their own. Those children being bought by Jesus Christ, they are not your own either. And it is a very dangerous situation. And I'm saying this in a culture that is very family-oriented. And it's in those type of cultures that we're most given to this compromise. It seems sweet, and it seems kind of a Saturday Evening Post picture. It seems all very sweet and nice, but if you watch it closely, it's very fleshly. It's very me. It's very mine. When we stand before Jesus Christ, I do believe that we give account. I believe that we'll give an account of how we raised our family. I believe that as much as it cost and as high as the price is, we have several of our students now. I see all of them scattered across. Abigail, it's good to see you tonight. It's good to see several of them that they're headed. Ryan's headed to, I asked him who he's flying with on Wednesday, going back out to West Coast. And he goes, no, me, myself, and I. He goes, I get three tickets for the price of one. That is a Ryan Ogle type of humor. He's headed out this Wednesday, going back out to West Coast to train for ministry. Holly's already up in Powell, Tennessee. We got several that are scattered. They're going to be gone. Next Sunday, we're not going to see them. They're going to be gone for several months. If not, at some point, gone. And as hard as that is, you have to do it. You have to do it. Well, Pastor, are you saying that every young person has... No, I'm saying that you should prepare every one of your young people to do that. That if that's where the Lord's taking them, then that's where the Lord's taking them. I appreciate parents, you know, pastoring in Michigan. Who wants to pastor in Michigan? I never did. But I got to tell you something, I loved it. And I love the fact that I was taught, if that's where God's taking you, you better get there. I believe this wholeheartedly. Had I never gone to Michigan, God would never open the door for me to come to Alabama, ever. You must overcome the barrier of misplaced priorities. And I say this primarily to parents because parents is going to be you that is going to be guiding them. It's going to be you that is cutting the tether strings. Have you ever watched the eaglets when they're finally, it's time for them to fly? Do you think they want to fly? No. No, that's the last thing they want to do. How would you like to be thousands of feet up in the air and you're looking out there having no idea that you can actually fly and your mother, of all people, your mom, is pushing you off the cliff? What kind of parenting is that? I'll tell you what kind of parenting it is, because she knows that that eaglet will never become the majestic creature it was born to be unless she forces it to do something that it naturally does not want to do. Well, I just can't see my babies go. I just can't. You have to. And you have to push them toward that. You have to guide them toward that. Because ultimately, they must have their allegiance shift from you to God. It must. Not just concretely, but abstractly, spiritually as well. The cost of discipleship is very high. You see the cost of personal comfort. You see the barrier of misplaced priorities. And then third and finally, there is the price of procrastination. Jesus said unto him, follow me. He said, let the dead bury their dead. When people talk about Jesus Christ and they say, oh, your language is so direct and it's so calloused and it's so... Can I tell you that many things that Jesus Christ said were not very kind? They wouldn't be taken very well. They'd be kind of offensive. What if I were to tell you, hey, listen, you want to follow Shane Lewis? You want to be a part of the ministry of Somerville Baptist Church? You say, well, I do, but Pastor, you know, before I do that, I need to bury my father. He just died. Look, you're either on board or you're not. Can you hear it? Can you imagine me saying that to one of the staff members and you hearing about that? What would your thought process be on that one? That I actually said, you know what? The dead can bury the dead. We've got to address the living. There's going to be people dying and going to hell by the hundreds of thousands just today. We don't have time for you to go to your dad's funeral. What kind of monster would I be? Well, that's exactly what Jesus Christ is saying here. He's making that very point. Is he literally saying that you ought not to go to your dad's funeral? Maybe. But I think his point is very clear. That nothing, if you are going to be a follower of me, nothing, nothing, nothing. Not your volleyball team, not your basketball team, not your boyfriend, not your girlfriend, not your job, not your home, not your car, not your truck, not your 401k, nothing. Not your mama, not your papa. No one is to come between you and me. And the time to do that is right now. You've been talking about what you're going to do for me for years. You're like a fat man with a diet. Tomorrow, I'm going to do it. Do you know how often I see myself as skinny? I'm serious. There sits Chris Champion. Let me tell you, Chris, what I think about you. You ready? See, I see myself where Chris Champion is right now. I see it. And I see it just as a matter of simple decision for me. You know what? What's the big deal with that? Give me 6 months. Give me 8 months. Maybe a year at the most. I'll look like that. You know when the first time I said that was? About 6 or 8 months ago. See, tomorrow I'm going to start it. Tomorrow I'm going to get in shape. And tomorrow I'm going to start walking. And tomorrow I'm going to get into that elliptical. It's tomorrow I'm going to stop eating, you know, whatever I eat that's causing what's happening. And tomorrow, it's always going to be tomorrow. And so tomorrow comes, and you know what I say? As I said today, tomorrow I'm going to do it. I'm going to sit down with Joy. We're going to lay out this diet plan. Tomorrow. You know what's even more saddening for us? Is that some of us have done that for years spiritually. Tomorrow I'm going to start reading the Word of God. Tomorrow I'm going to get serious about prayer. Tomorrow I'm going to start cleaning up my thought life. Tomorrow I'm going to start memorizing the Word of God. Tomorrow I'm going to start telling others about Jesus Christ. Tomorrow I'm going to start tithing. Tomorrow I'm going to start being involved in a local church ministry. Tomorrow I'm going to start being loving to my wife and to my children. Tomorrow I'm going to start serving my family. Tomorrow I'm going to start telling people about Christ at work. Tomorrow I'm going to show up at work on time and be a testimony for Jesus Christ. Tomorrow. It's always tomorrow. Always. And you have paid a heavy price. This procrastination has robbed you of something you can never get back. And that is your and my past. We can't get it back. We can't go and change those things. We simply, as I said this morning, I'll say it again. You cannot change tomorrow because tomorrow is not here. So quit talking about what you've done. Tomorrow, if the Lord will, I will do this or that. The book of James says, stop it. Stop it. Quit talking about being a disciple of Jesus Christ tomorrow and start being a disciple of Jesus Christ today. The great cost of discipleship. Look at your life now and ask yourself, what have I been willing to give up? The cost of personal comforts. What have I misprioritized in my life that I have placed in front of the cause of Christ? And how long am I going to keep saying, Lord, tomorrow I'll be serious about serving you? You know what tomorrow is? Tomorrow is today, wasted in the same way, as long as you keep saying tomorrow. The rewards are great. Parents, I'll just tell you, when you look at, I wish I could bring in, when you look at a guy like Steve Grubbs, our assistant pastor's father, and you see how the Lord used him through the years, the cost of building from scratch Shenandoah Baptist Church and the Haven for Girls and the Boys Ranch. But if you talk to Steve Grubbs and Ruth, I'll tell you what you'll find them talking about more than anything. They'll talk to you about the church. They'll talk to you about the homes. They'll talk to you about the Christian school. But when you start talking to them about their children, that all five of them are serving the Lord in ministry some way and somehow. They all have a deep love for Jesus Christ. There was a price to be paid for that years ago. But what a return. To lay your head on your pillow at night before God calls you home and to know that your children are serving Him unreservedly. It'll be worth it. When we see Christ, no. It'll be worth it before we ever see Him face to face. But we must pay the price today. Let's stand together. Lord, I'm asking tonight that you turn now, Lord, turn your word on us. And Lord, make it a mirror to us. Search us, O God. See if there be any wicked way in us. Lord, see if there be any creature comforts, personal comforts that we've not been willing to do away with, personal goals, desires, ambitions. Lord, any misplaced priorities, family. Lord, procrastination. We'll do it tomorrow. Lord, I'm praying that as you reveal to us now, and I think that every single believer in some area or another of this message must address the conviction of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that as you reveal that to us, we in turn will give it to you. Lord, the cost, you've told us the cost is high. So Lord, help us to count that cost and realize that to bring you glory in our life is the ultimate reward. So Lord, please do your work in our life. Lord, I want to be a disciple. A true follower of you. God, give me the courage to do so. Tonight, if that is your heart, the piano plays. Let's do business with him, shall we? We come to the altar and we say, Lord, help me to be willing to pay the cost of discipleship. Moms and dads, can I say something to you? I always think it's interesting that the children, the young people, and I love it that they come. But where are we? Thank you. I don't want to rush this. I want the piano to play, just the piano, through another stanza of this. I think there's some battles that we're all fighting right now. There's some that are fighting. The Lord is trying to, he's not going to grasp it from you, but he's holding his hand asking for it. Child, give me that. So much for your attention. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask his blessing on the offering tonight as we take it. Father, I pray tonight you bless this time of giving. And Lord, I'm asking something somewhat uniquely, that during this offering time, Lord, that I'll be quiet, no announcements, just the piano playing quietly. And Lord, as the plate goes by, that we are asking ourselves, Lord, certainly the plate is asking directly for a monetary input, Lord, you're asking for so much more. Lord, I'm praying that the offering time tonight is a time of reflection.